This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Dispatch to tell. Now, he's laying there, and the doctors, when they finally get him and haul him to the hospital, says he is, with all the strength he's got, he's praying and asking God, I'm going to make it. And then after the doctors walk out, he hears them say he ain't going to make it. So he's laying there saying, God, I'm useless to you now. You know, I'm useless. See, he's listening to the enemy, the one that's trying to kill him. I mean, you can't do nothing for the kingdom of God. You were a great preacher. You can't do nothing now. You're all broke up and stove up, and you ain't going to be able to talk or nothing else. You ain't going to be able to be used for nothing. And he said, I begin to grumble before God. God, why did this happen to me? You know, what is the deal? I was serving you. I was preaching your word. I was doing, now I can't do nothing. And he said, I heard a voice speak to me just as clear as, he said, you can worship me. You can worship me. So he said, I went to saying, Lord, in my spirit, I worship you. I praise you. I worship you. Can we worship him at all times? Yes, we can worship him. And I think about Paul, how he had been preaching the gospel and they didn't like it and they beat him. I mean, they beat him with a cat of nine tails, and the blood is running down his back. And they take him out there in the prison, and they put them stocks out, and they put his hands and his feet on them, and they got him sitting out there on the dirt, probably nearly naked. I mean, they beat him. The blood's running down. They have literally beat him with a whip, a cat of nine tails, at least 39 stripes with a cat of nine tails. I ain't never been hit one time with a cat of nine tails, and I don't want to be, but I sure don't want to be hit 39 times with one of them things. Paul's back was hamburger meat. And he was out there in stocks and bonds. Can't you just see him now? God, I don't understand what you've done this for. I'm just so upset with you. Is that what Paul was doing? No. You read the word. What was he doing? He was praising the King. He worshipped him for 5 minutes. He worshipped him for an hour. He worshipped him for 2 hours, 3 hours. And finally, at midnight, I wonder why it took so long. You reckon God heard him at the first time he worshipped? Mm-hmm. Why did it take till midnight for the angel to come and the mighty miracle to happen? See, God, he knows what he's doing, doesn't he? He knows the battle that's going on. And because Paul and Barnabas continued to worship and praise, the angel got through and the chains come loose, the jail was open, and everybody was set free. And then they got led the whole bunch to Jesus around there after that because of that mighty miracle. Persistence. I mean, was he persistent? You know, now how many of you, let me ask you this question, be truthful tonight. I'm going to say that if that had been me and Ty, and we had both been beaten, I can't talk for him, but I can talk for me. Probably after about 15 minutes, if God hadn't showed up, I'd have said, God, are you really real? Here, I'm beat up and I'm bleeding, everything, blood's running down my back. Lord, are you really real? We'd have a tendency to think like that, wouldn't we, Ty? Oh, my land. But Paul knew God was real. And that's what he's got to be to you and me. We got to know he's real. We got to know that we're in a battle. We got to know that his answers are always yes. And we got to worship him and praise him and thank him, just like Paul did. And if it takes till midnight or if it takes all night long, you still worship him. Now, this preacher on this CD I was listening to, as he went to worshiping and praising God, the man fully, completely, over time, it didn't happen overnight, but in time, he had fully recovered from that devastating accident. Now, what if he hadn't worshipped God? What if he had really got into a state of grumbling? And what if he hadn't known the word? And what if whenever the doctor said, he ain't going to make it, he'd have thought, uh-oh, well, I'm coming home, Jesus. That's all I can do. He would have died. He would have died. But he had dominion over his flesh. And he stayed in persistent prayer, praising and worshiping the Lord. And the Lord brought him through that devastating trial and event that he went through and completely healed him. And he preached, and maybe he's still preaching. I didn't listen to the rest of the CD. I don't know how long ago this was. But I know Paul preached for many a year. And then finally one day, they cut his head off, at least what I heard. You know, Paul got killed, you know, because of preaching the word. But no big deal. You know, he said to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, how many of us can look at it like that? You know, how many of us, well, that's the way we got to look at it, right? We're out here leading people to Jesus. We're getting the sick people healed. That's just like last night at 4 o'clock. That was stuck a note on my door and said, Thurman, this young man called and he wants you to call him. I said, okay. I called him. I said, son, sir, how can I help you? He said, I have a lady friend that's in the hospital in Decatur in critical condition. And she's had MS, I believe it was, for the last 10 years. And so now she has pneumonia. And the doctor says she won't never leave the hospital alive. He said, I heard about your ministry, and I wonder what I would have to do to get you to come over to Decatur. Since you're not too far away, could you possibly come over here tonight and pray for this woman? I said, I'll come. So I got Dave. Me and Dave went over there. We went up to that hospital. We spent about 2 hours out in the truck with him and talking to him. Then we went in and spent about an hour talking to this woman. And I'm going to tell you, I found the answer to her problem. This woman was not fortunate and lived in a beautiful family like I was in. She was raised up in hell on earth. She was abused. She was beat. She was told all of her life she was worth nothing. She was an accident. They didn't plan for her to be here. Didn't want her to be here. She was unworthy. And although she had come to know Jesus, and she had done some wonderful things for Jesus in her life, this woman thought she was unworthy to be healed. She couldn't even talk. When I got into her room, she had a trach put in her throat for that she could breathe. They had a thing put on her. She was so weak, and she's only 39 years old. Technically speaking, she had yielded to the forces of darkness that made her believe she was nobody, she was worthless, she was unworthy. And I began to tell her. I walked in and got right down in her face. I said, young lady, are you a Christian? And I said, if you can't talk, if you're a Christian, blink your eyes. And so she blinked her eyes. I said, okay, you're a daughter of the King. I said, now then, you've got to know if you are a child of God, you work directly for the King of the universe. Do you know that? And she just opened her eyes real wide. She couldn't. And I said, do you know you're a beautiful princess in the kingdom of God and you are worthy to be healed? And her eyes got wider. I kept telling her, you're a daughter of the King. You're a princess of the King of the universe. He died for you. I said, you're worthy to receive His healing power. And I told her those kind of things over and over for at least an hour. I said, now then, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to lay my hands on you, and I'm going to drive this sickness out of you, and I'm going to guarantee you the King of the universe is going to heal you, woman. And we left on that note. And man, she was trying to smile and everything else when we left. You know, now then, God, I believe, when Dave and I drove off in that place, I said, Dave, I've done this a many a time for a many a person, and this is why I get to see God do some awesome things, because I go to those places and I take His word and I pound it in them, and then I pray in faith expecting the King to show up. And I said, He does. He does. I said, He'll do something mighty with this woman. I said, because you noticed everything we said to her was right out of the Word of God. He said, I know it. He said, this is awesome. And the young man that walked us outside and everything, he said, I want your names and numbers. He said, I don't never want to lose touch with two men of faith like you two guys. Hey, I told him, I said, everybody in the church ought to be just like us. Everybody ought to be men and women of faith. He said, well, I don't meet many like you two. I said, but no, what a shame. We should all be these kind of men and women of faith, shouldn't we? Yes. Jesus is the one that made us a promise. Now see, He's telling us in Luke 18 how persistent we need to be. He says, you should be in constant prayer and to show them that you must never give up. So what do you think God wants us to do? Give up? No, he wants us to be the winner in every case.
So he gives us this story. He said there was a judge in a certain city, and he said he was a godless man. Now, this is a godless man. Jesus is giving us a story about the world. He said this man was godless and with great contempt for everyone. In other words, he had no respect for nobody. I don't care who you are. You say something in my court I don't like, you go to jail. He didn't care who you was. You know, this guy had no love for God or man or nothing else. And then it's a widow of that city. A little widow. And that city came to him repeatedly appealing for justice against someone who had harmed her. Did she come back one time? How many times? How many times did it say this little woman came back in Luke 18? How many times? Did she come back once? No. Rosemary, she came back how many times? Repeatedly. She kept coming back and coming back and coming back before the judge. The judge said, I ain't going to do nothing for you. She come back and said, Judge, please. He said, I told you I ain't doing nothing for you. She come back and said, Judge, please. This is a godless judge. Has no respect for this woman. But this woman keeps coming back. She come back the next day. Judge, I want justice. Would you, woman, would you get out of my court? Tomorrow she's standing there again. And Jesus said, if that's the way it is with a godless man, in this, and he says, the judge ignored her for a while. But eventually she wore him out. Praise God for a persistent person, right? I mean, she kept coming back and she wore this godless judge down. Every day he looks up and says, oh my gosh, I hate to go to work today. I bet you that woman's going to be there again. I mean, she's been there every day. I keep telling her to get lost and don't come back, but she don't listen. She's standing at my door every day. I fear neither God nor man. Now, there's some judges like that out there today, too. They have no fear for God or man. They don't respect nothing. He said to himself, but this woman is driving me crazy. Praise God. Just think about this example Jesus is giving us. I'm going to see that she gets justice. I'm going to take care of her case. I am tired of her showing up in my courtroom every day. Because she is wearing me out with her constant request. I mean, to take this to heart. Listen to what he's trying to tell you here.
We have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.